One thing about that song before I say something else. It said, God, you are my God, glorious. God, you are my God, victorious. If God is your God, do you think your life should look different? What we're saying in that song is, Lord, ruler of my life, creator of the universe, you are mine. If we are supposed to be serving God, the creator of the universe, won't our lives look different? Won't we be more kind and gentle and loving and serving and faithful and hope-filled and joy-filled? I would say, yeah. So if we had to rephrase that song with a word that we feel most of the time, maybe we would say, God, you are my God sometimes. That's kind of how we live, right? And I lump myself in it because we are working towards what God has for us. So today is no different. It's all about gentleness. And it's very important for us to see sometimes we follow God whether we like it or not, because we trust him and obey him. Well, tomorrow is Memorial Day, and on my office wall, I have a picture of one of our soldiers that was in Iraq, and his name is James Bridges. And he was born in Idaho, and he went to Iraq, and you know, you might not agree with why we went over there or what we went for, but he went over to free the Iraqi people. He obeyed his commander and did what was required of him because it was right. And he ultimately gave his life for that freedom for the other people. Memorial Day, we remember many, many things. Just like we've remembered over the past few months, we've had four memorials for some of our folks here. Every time we have a memorial, we have a picture of them. What do? At memorials? We remember them in their lives. So tomorrow's Memorial Day is no different. We remember those that sacrificed for the ideals of giving us freedom so we could be here. But whether you like the reasons or not, the people were serving us just like Christ would serve. That's pretty incredible, I'd say. Well, let me start us off in prayer first. Dear Lord, thank you for this time you've given to us. Please help us to be able to honor you, to be able to learn something new about you, and for it to make a difference in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Thanks, John. Well, Lord willing, this will work, because I think sometimes Satan is in even our wires. You know, I'm saying that facetiously, but Satan does not want God's word to be let out. So today, we want to look at gentleness, right? Gentleness is not easily understood. We teach our kids, you know, we have this microscopic view of gentleness, but we have a hard time defining it, and sometimes it's lumped in with humility. Sometimes it's lumped in as with putting others first. They're two distinct ideas, two distinct options. In fact, Pastor Kirk Neely, he said that gentleness, or the Greek words for it, the two of them, it's the most difficult word in the New Testament to translate because we simply do not have a precise term in English. So here we're supposed to do something that in English it's imprecise. So we really have to figure out what gentleness means for God and what it means for us. The second thing about gentleness, it is rare in this world. In fact, it's so rare that when I went to the library last week and I was talking to the librarian, the system was down, so she had to help me. I said, I need books on gentleness. She just looks at me and says, wow, that is something we need to hear more of. And then third, gentleness is hard to live. For us, it is a challenge, even though we are Jesus followers. Randy Frazee, he's the one that helped compile our book that we've been continuing in, Believe, And we've been going through it for the last year. It's all about knowing what we believe and moving it 12 inches down south to our heart, to where we can live what we believe. So what he found was that in a nationwide study conducted by Gallup on the 30 key ideas in this book, gentleness came in dead last. The quality of gentleness appears to be rare and evasive in our culture, no matter if you're a Christian or not Christian. Both groups admitted this characteristic was severely lacking, making it the number one nemesis inside their own heart. And you know the question that stumped them? Are you known as someone who raises their voice? That got them every time. So what's it about this particular virtue that gives us fits? As a society and even as the church, are we uptight? Are we stressed? Are we worn out? Why is gentleness a stranger to us? A greater question to ask is, if Christ is present in our lives, why aren't Christians markedly gentler? That's a thought-provoking question. Well, we are on the 29th chapter. We are near the end of our study of why we believe what we believe. And if you've been going along, it is page 466. And if you don't have one of these books, we have them. And I'd encourage you, even if this is your first time reading it, grab a copy. We've brought several, and it's for you. It's all about the scripture, and he points out some amazing things on how we can live it. We're covering the fruit of the Spirit right now, and that's why it's called Be. That's what the banner is. How we be Christians, how we live as Christians, little Christ. So how do we know if we are gentle? Well, as the fruit of the Holy Spirit, one of the ways, well, let me ask this question. I'm glad Billy, my friend, is here because he might get my questions more than adults. But here's the question. Do you eat fruit? Okay, you don't sit on it, right? You don't put it in your ear. You have to eat it. Okay, so when you eat it, you taste something, right? Sometimes it can be sweet, sometimes it can be good, but sometimes it can be sour and bitter. So the only way for someone to, for you to know if you're gentle is by asking someone else. They are the ones that, quote, have tasted your fruit. They are the ones that can say, yeah, you're sweet. No, you're sour. But there's a catch-22, because if you ask, and you're a person that's not very gentle, you know that person's not going to be very honest with you because they're afraid of telling you the truth. So we have to do some self-introspection. We have to look at ourselves to try to understand, are we gentle? Do I speak to my kids with gentleness? Do I talk to my coworkers with gentleness? When I'm stressed out, am I still gentle? Well, what is gentleness? In English, it's called mild, moderate, soft, and delicate. It's submissive, which means to voluntarily assume equality with an inferior. It's the opposite of roughness or bad temper, sudden anger, and brusqueness. So gentleness is a really important thing. And to define this, we are going to go through a few verses, and then I'll tell you the definitions. There's three of them. And then I have an illustration for each. So our first passage is Proverbs 15:1. And the reason I have it on the screen is so it can be easy for you. But the reason I read out of the Bible is so you can know it's not my words. That is important. So the very first one, Proverbs 15:1, says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Has that ever happened for you? Well, the second verse is Titus 3:1-2. And this is what it says. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility or gentleness towards all men. And when it says men, that means women, boys, and girls. The whole gamut, from beginning of life to the end of life. We're supposed to be showing gentleness towards everyone. do we do that? Well, in the scripture, one of these first terms is proutes. It's in Greek. It means being mild, thought-filled, not rash or abrasive. So in Paul's day, this word was linked to the medical world, and it carried the idea of a mild medication. We could say it this way, a gentle person is someone easy on our stomachs. That's a pretty good word picture, right? Have you ever wondered about talking to someone else? You had to share something with them, and your insides were doing knots. You were worried about them because you knew that they would not respond with a gentle manner. That happened to me several times last year, and it's not a very fun thing. So gentleness is something where it doesn't cause your stomach to get upset. So one way to know if you're gentle is if the person that you're going to talk to, are they dreading it? Can you see it in their face? A gentle person still speaks the truth, sometimes even if it's painful. But in doing so, they guard their tone so the truth can be well received. So I'll show you. This is like us, right? We are very fragile creatures. This is also like us. We are very pointy creatures. Sometimes we have a lot of challenges going on in our lives. And we divulge it. We share it with others. And the other person is like, wow, you need to give that to Christ. Good idea, but they aren't listening to what we're saying. They might even respond, well, you shouldn't have done that. That's what we are like. We don't think about what the other person is going through. We don't think about how they deal with it. We don't think about how we come across. We just want our words to be heard. Now, I want to show you how gentleness would look when it's a little different, when we actually think through things. So I am getting my supplies. I'm going to blow up another one. So you know it's not a trick balloon. Normally magicians would have someone come up and test it, but I'm not a magician. Okay, so this is us again. Now, gentleness is a lot like this dish soap. And, you know, soap is called mild or gentle, right? We use it on our kids. Johnson's and Johnson's makes a really good one. And we use it to clean a lot of things because it is gentle. It's not abrasive. We don't stress over its effects, right? So when we have a gentle spirit and we go to a person in gentleness, and Lord willing, this will work. When we go to them in gentleness, sometimes we have to say something that is hard for them to hear. But we think about what they're hearing and how they're going to take it. So with God, there we go. So with gentleness and using the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we are able to say things to be able to get through to them. Not because we want to prove our point, but because we want to do something that is good for them. And to where, if we do it with gentleness, we can make more of an impact. You see, sometimes we go through hard things. Like for me, I don't like talking about the abuse that I went through as a child, because it opens me up for vulnerability. But God says, Ivan, you are responsible for obeying me. You're not responsible for how they take it. So that allows you to not show gentleness to me. But I have to obey God anyway. Sometimes we struggle with mental illness. This whole month is Mental Illness Awareness Month. And you know, God is still God. And sometimes God uses science. Sometimes God outright heals. But he's still in control, and he will do what is right. My devotion, surprisingly enough, today was about this very thing. Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And the very end of that chapter says, I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and take heart, and wait for the Lord. And this is from a speaker, Sheila Walsh. She said, as I spoke this verse, something became crystal clear. When we try to hide our wounds, our scars, our cancers, all those things we believe make us less lovely, we make fear and shame the stronghold of our life. But when we bring our wounds to Christ, when we out our secrets in shame, when we make him the stronghold of our lives, he uses our wounds for his purposes. He makes something beautiful of us. It's the antithesis of what we feel must be true. Can you imagine what the church would be like if we all told the truth with gentleness and courage? What would happen if when we spoke the truth, it was received with gentleness? It's not that we want to become the poster children for depression or cancer or disappointment or struggle. We just want to put those things in their place. Yes, bad things have happened, but we are not alone. Jesus has prepared us. Are you getting a more full picture of gentleness? What we do to others can be gentle. Now we receive it from others. We can receive it in gentleness too. Well, that's the very first definition of the Greek term. The next one is found in Philippians 4, verse 5. And I will read it for you. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't you like that? The Lord is near. So maybe we do need to let our gentleness be evident to all. And then Ephesians 4, 2 says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. So this aspect of gentleness is gentleness as strength controlled. Another word to use it is meekness. Meekness is not weakness. It's not weakness turned upside down to make it meekness. No, Charles Swindoll says, gentleness isn't weak or soft, but it's strength under control. Focus on the Family says, gentleness is a strong hand with a soft touch. It speaks softly in the face of provocation, and it is able to be silent. For calm, unruffled silence is often the most eloquent response to unkind words. Did you know that when Jesus was before Pilate, he was being interrogated, and he was speaking so mildly back, he was able to call 12 legions of angels down at that very moment. And yet because he was strength controlled, he knew he was following the Father's hands, he showed meekness by not doing what he was able to do. For us as men, a lot of times we think meekness or gentleness is a weakness, and it is not. Have you ever held a child's hand? Okay, most of us, that's good. When you hold a child's hand, if you are older than them, could you hurt their hand if you squeezed hard enough? But you don't. That is gentleness. It is strength under control. It is a good thing. Well, there is an example, and Camp Liwa has a bunch of these. Horses. If you think about a horse, the average horse weighs an average of 1,000 pounds or more, and they have the potential to seriously injure or even kill human beings. Yet, we walk up to them, the vast majority of horses, we pet them, we ride them, and we deem them as gentle. Is this a reflection of their power and strength? No, it's an indication of their nature, what they are like being after trained. Gentleness for a horse is a choice to allow his power and strength to be controlled. A gentle person is not a weak person, but rather someone who is strong, secure, and mature. They use their strength to face real giants and challenges in their lives, but choose not to run roughshod over others. Another way to look at it is, if you've ever had a glass door, there are two ways to go about getting onto the other side. One, you could open it. One, you could go through it. Going through it is going to take a lot of strength. You'll probably get through, but you might be hurt. So you show strength. But if you open the door, that kind of is showing gentleness. You're allowing your strength to be controlled, yet the same thing happens. You get through to the other side. So gentleness is strength control. And then the third example is from Galatians 6, verse 1. Brothers and sisters too, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself or you also may be tempted. So gentleness now is showing mercy even when you're allowed to show full justice. Even though you're allowed to put down a verdict and say you are guilty and here's the full extent of the law, you can't get out of it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. So, for example, a king has the authority to render punishment to a servant who has failed at a specific task. They could actually order the death of that servant. But a king responding with kindness and forgiveness, however, would be recognized for gentleness and meekness. God is the ultimate example for this. And Jesus, when he was here on earth, showed it very well. Having the full power of everything to the very second we sinned for the first time, kill us dead in our tracks. He holds back because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should turn to him and receive eternal life. To live in a spirit of gentleness towards God is to accept his judgment on people and issues. You know, we tend to think it's gentle to go easy on people or to try to justify actions that God has called sin, or to even let someone continue in sin without speaking the truth. But Paul says, if anyone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Though it doesn't mean to be so soft that the sinner doesn't realize he's sinned, because we have sinned. Sin keeps us out of a perfect, holy relationship with God. It means to confront the brother or sister in a manner that is in line with Scripture, to be mild, loving, encouraging, and clear about the holiness that God calls us to. So God shows us this every single day in so many ways. He has full power, but yet he deals with us in a loving manner, in a gentle manner. So as true followers of Christ, we are to be distinguished by gentleness. Do not raise your hands, but would people know you as a gentle person? There are five things that we can do to be gentle people. And if you had a bulletin after I stuffed them, you will find it in your bulletin. I will not put it on the screen because it is as a handout. So there are five things to grow in your gentleness, and this is from author Jerry Bridges. First, we actively seek to make others feel at ease. Second, be sensitive to others' opinions and ideas, welcoming opinion. Show respect for the personal dignity of the other person. When you need to change a wrong opinion, do it with persuasion and kindness rather than domination or intimidation. Avoid blunt speech and abrupt manner. Be sensitive to how others react to your words, considering how they may feel. When it is necessary to wound, also include encouragement. Number four, don't be threatened by opposition. Gently instruct, asking God to dissolve the opposition. And last, do not belittle or degrade or gossip about a brother or sister who has fallen. Instead, grieve and pray for their repentance. One of the things I think that we use as a cop-out for gentleness is, it's my personality. My personality is a type A personality. My personality is to boldly tell you the logic or the flawed logic of what you're saying. You might be right, but you're running through that glass door. Rather, if we choose gentleness and choose words that care about the other person, we open the glass door. We allow the dialogue to be open. So we can't use how we think our personality is as the catch-all. You realize that gentleness is rare in this world because it's from the Holy Spirit. The world doesn't show gentleness. You know, they might have a facade of it because they're getting something. Some people might truly be gentle because they've seen something in God. But as followers of God, we have this fruit that we're supposed to be kind and gentle, be loving. And next week we learn about being humble, allowing ourselves to be put below someone else, not because we are weak, but because we choose to do it for God. If I'm summarizing everything up, this is what I would say. Gentleness is rooted in our belief in humanity. When we see people the way God sees them, we are compelled to treat them well. A gentle person, according to God's vision, is thoughtful. They think before they talk or act. A gentle person is considerate. They consistently put themselves in other people's shoes and they act accordingly. A gentle person is calm. Now finally, when we are filled with the Spirit's fruit of gentleness, we will correct others with easiness instead of arguing in resentment and anger, knowing their salvation is far more important than our pride. We will forgive readily because any offense toward us is nothing compared to our offenses already done before God. Offenses He's already forgiven. And competition and disunity will disappear as the goal becomes less about ourselves and more about preaching the gospel. In the end, we can say, God, you are my God. I follow you because it is right. I follow you in gentleness, allowing myself to not give someone a stomachache, allowing myself to be controlled, my strength to be controlled, so I impact that person with your love. And for holding back when I have full ability to destroy the other person because I want to show mercy through gentleness. That is what the full explanation of gentleness is and how I hope that we can grow in this as we learn and study more about God. Well, let me close in prayer, if you will. Dear Lord, thank you for not giving up on us. I know that from the beginning of the world, when Adam was created out of dust, we dust-filled creatures have thought of ourselves better than others. It is so ironic to me. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. We learned this in our memorials this past few years. That's how it is, and yet we want to put ourselves over others. So God, work in our hearts, especially if we call you our God. Help us to be able to learn gentleness, be able to live gentleness. Help us as we work with others in ministry to work towards the common goal of others' salvation. Help us as parents to hold back on the screaming, to be able to think about the kid. And if we do point out something, to be able to do it in gentleness and firmness. And finally, help us to be able to live it to the world because it is a rare thing. Thank you that you promised you never leave us, you never forsake us. That means you're going to help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you wouldn't mind standing for our benediction, it's actually in Philippians 4 or 5, but just one last look at what we should be doing in gentleness. One we receive in gentleness, and one we speak in gentleness. Philippians 4 or 5 says this, "Let your gentleness be evident to all." We should do that anyway, but here's the catalyst. The Lord is near. God will never leave you nor forsake you. He's actually right with you. So how can we, through His strength, be gentle and more gentle? That's the question. I'm glad you came. Next week we'll talk about humility, and you're dismissed.